You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, theater fans, welcome and thanks for tuning in. This is just a quick heads up for everyone with warning triggers around this topic. This episode does contain conversations about rape and sexual assault, so please, please, please be careful as you listen through. Enjoy, and we will see you on the other side. Hello, theatre fans, one and all. Welcome back to the We Are Theatre podcast. We are kicking it on with our Jagged Little Pill month here, I guess we can call it. And I'm back with Liam Head, who plays Nick Healy in the Australian production. How are you going, Liam?
Very well. Very well. How are you?
I am so excited to keep talking about the show. I absolutely love it. I've seen it before, but to have it here in Australia now is just so, so exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. We'll come back to the show in a second. What was your introduction to theatre? How did you get into performing and being where you are now?
Well, I suppose I grew up in a small Baptist church, and my dad was the worship leader there. And so I was kind of always thrown up on stage, and I was singing and doing that kind of stuff. And then it got to a point where I kind of wanted to try dancing. And so I went to a few dance classes at this small country dance school called Divine Rhythm. And then we kind of moved away from that, just with like money being tight and all that kind of stuff. And then a few years later, so when I was probably 10, I got my first singing lesson, and I just fell in love with it. The very first song I ever sang was Where Is Love from Oliver. And I was looking at the ground the entire time, so nervous. Didn't want anyone to look at me. But kind of kept going with that. Figured I kind of wanted to do musical theatre because I fell in love with Newsies, but I couldn't dance to save my life because by this point it'd been quite a few years since I did dancing. So I got back into dancing when I was 14, and did like 26 hours a week, just kind of kept grinding, just wanted to dance in the hopes to get into the con in Queensland, and I did. And went to the con and just finished this year. Well, I kind of had to leave early, which is pretty cool. Sad to leave my friends, but taking the opportunities that come. Exactly. And here I am now.
First professional show, getting into it and getting stuck in. What's it been like to kind of be like, yeah, cool, I've booked my first show, I'm ready to rumble now?
when I got the call from my agent at the time, she called me and she sounded pretty chipper. So I was pretty excited because I knew that there was news coming, and she said they want you for Nick Healy, and I kind of just couldn't believe it. I was like cover, Nick cover, ensemble, swing, cover, I don't know. I was like, no, Nick. And I was like, oh, cool. So it's still a dream come true. It's still a lot of responsibility that I'm trying to maintain and work on. It's heaps of fun, and I mean, I get to live on stage instead of living behind a desk, so I'm pretty happy.
How cool is it? Yeah, right. For everyone that hasn't seen the show, do you want to give your little breakdown of who Nick is in the show, so we know who we're talking about for the rest of the episode?
Yeah. Nicholas Healy is a 17-year-old boy, currently in grade 12 or senior year of high school in the States. Grew up in a hometown called Connecticut. And he's kind of like this pin-up boy, poster child, typical American. He gets referred to as Captain America in the play, just because he seems perfect. Everyone has expected him to do perfect things. He's the champion for swimming, that would have helped him get into Harvard. He's just gotten into Harvard in the play. He's ticking boxes left, right, and center. But he's kind of ticking all these boxes just to make his parents, specifically his mom, happy. His mom's golden boy, her treasure, I suppose. And so his whole life, he's just kind of just trying to make her happy and doing things for her, not necessarily for himself. Although what he's doing is fun and he enjoys what he's doing, he's kind of doing it for the wrong reason. That's kind of Nick in a really basic nutshell.
Amazing. We'll deep dive into some of Nick's other things in a second. But getting this script and getting stuck in, what was kind of thing? How did you start forming
your version of Nick pre-coming into rehearsals and everything like that? What was your initial reaction to reading the script and everything like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Nick kind of is continuing to evolve every day, which is crazy and not what I expected. But I came into the rehearsal room with, yes, a preconceived idea, but also with the notion that this will change. And when I start to work with Leah, she'll give me more direction. In my auditions, the Zoom auditions that I had for it, I kept Nick as this angsty teenager who kind of fought back at his mom every now and again. But then after exploring it and working with it and looking at his arc and his trajectory, because in their auditions, you only get like two pieces of paper. Yeah. You have no clue what the core players. But now playing it as more submissive and okay, yes, we'll do. Actually less of that fight back. And he actually learns how to talk respectfully, I suppose, back to his mom, like how to stand up for himself throughout the play. So that's one. What was the question? Has he changed or what is he like? What was my idea?
Yeah, what was like, how did you go about forming him? Like, this is perfect answer. You're all over it.
Great, lovely. Yeah, so I was kind of, in drama school, the lovely Kate Foy taught us the three I's, investigate, infer, invent. And so you get your scripts and you investigate it, you rip it apart. Okay, he's at school. Okay, so you look into it, you see that at the start of the play, someone says, let's go to a party. And he says, we have practice in the morning. You want to swim 200 to the hangover. So obviously he values his sport and his reputation higher than having a good time with friends and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty interesting looking at that kind of stuff. And that informs a lot about the character. And then you infer, which is what I kind of just did. So I investigated the text, you then infer what that means. And then there'll be many parts of the play that are just untouched. Like Nick, love life. There's no mention of it at all. So I can then invent, I suppose, has he had a past relationship? Honestly, probably not. I think his relationship is, he's got a close relationship with his mom and trying to make her happy, and a close relationship with his work and close relationship with trying to do everything perfect and everything right. Which takes too much time than like frou-frou relationships, like high school. I think he looks past it or looks a little bit down on it. So and that's the kind of stuff that we get to invent.
I love that. The creative process of theater is just fantastic, especially when like you guys get to have this free reign and do what you're doing at this point. So what was your, exposure to Alanis's music prior to this show?
I listened to ABC Radio growing up a whole lot. I'm a massive talkback kid. Spencer Houston, Kelly Higgins Devine, loved it. That's probably my only exposure. Probably listening to Ironic every now and again, driving into school with dad on the radio. I had no clue who Alanis was. No clue. No clue what Jagged Little Pill meant, or how impactful and avant-garde it was.
Yeah.
Because it's really such an incredible album. And doing the research, there's nothing like it before. Very little, unfortunately. But, yeah.
I think the cool thing, and I had this discussion with Emily, this musical is able, through the music, to explore so many different themes throughout. That if you were to say, hey, we're going to put these 10 themes into one show, everyone would be like, you're trying to achieve too much. But somehow this show manages to just hit it on the head. So what does it mean to you to be able to carry so many prominent and strong themes that are currently at the forefront of all social conversation and put it on stage in front of an audience coming every night?
It's a responsibility and it's also a privilege.
Yeah.
I mean, I love commercial musical theatre. I mean, I love Newsies. I love commercial theatre. I love it. Shrek, I would love to be part of those kind of shows. I love a good dance break. I love jumping. I love sweating on stage. I love doing things that just make people happy. But this show really isn't that at all. And I was talking to Maggie McKenna, just the other day about how it's such a privilege, but also a huge responsibility. And there's a huge weight to it. And you're not just stepping out on stage and making people laugh and making people feel things, but you're making people think.
Yeah.
And regardless of what you believe politically, you can't not talk after watching the show. And I think that's our only job as performers.
Yeah.
If we're going on and we're making people believe, or if we're telling people something, then that's more like a textbook.
Yeah.
But if we're making people think, if we're giving the opportunity for people to think and question themselves, then that's art. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, I literally had this discussion with Emily. That when I saw it on Broadway, I'd never left a theater feeling confronted by a show before. Like, just made me think about why do I view things like this? Why is my thought process this way? Like, and just so many different things. Nick is at a kind of center of one of the kind of bigger themes that have come to life in the last 2 years socially as well. With the Me Too movement, and I think we could call it rape culture, I think, is what Nick is involved in. How did you go about working with Grace and everything like that to get the emotional rawness that you guys need to kind of present this to an audience?
I actually think it's less about working with your scene partner, more about working on yourself before you get there. GWB, Jagged Pill Australia, they've done an awesome job of giving us the resources and material for support networks, websites, different modes and mediums of being able to look into and research this kind of stuff safely.
Yeah.
And also have the opportunity to talk to someone about the stuff that you're kind of exploring and exposing. And the work that we do isn't necessarily supposed to be safe, I suppose. Like it's not necessarily safe work. It's raw work. It's real work.
Yeah.
But we need to find a way to make it as safe as possible. It's not comfortable work is what I was trying to say. But it should be safe work.
Yeah.
And they've done a really, really good job of doing that. It's certainly confronting when you look at topics of privilege. And I don't think myself included, that there are many times throughout this whole experience, and there will be many times in every single show that I do until the day I die. I hope I never stop learning, where I go, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, wow, I need to check my privilege again. This is an issue that I can now be a part of a solution for.
Yeah.
I
think that's what this show is just putting all of these social issues front and center for people to sit there for an hour, 2 hours, and be almost not forced, but kind of have to consume it. They can't change the channel. They can't, like, they can choose to walk out if they want to, but probably won't.
I'm pretty sure people walk out.
Yeah.
What is that on Broadway, where it's just, and that's more than fair enough.
But it's just, I'm really excited to see how, especially after the last 2 years with everything that's come up with Black Lives Matter, Me Too, all the other social movements that are kind of represented through themes in the show as well. It's going to be very interesting to see how audiences react here.
Especially an Australian audience as well.
Yeah.
I think so many Australians put a divide between Australia and America, or America is just kind of crazy, you know, or that's going on in America that's not here.
Yeah.
But they're going to watch an American show, an American story, and they're going to be so confronted with all these themes that are actually prevalent in Australia.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to see that and reflect it onto, their everyday experience here.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you've kind of learned about yourself through this process? What's something that you've taken away that, you know, coming out the other side, you're going to look at differently or react differently to?
Yeah. Many, many things. Personal things, political things, performative things, like as a performer, many things I've learned about myself and my work and how I operate in my craft. But I think one of the greatest things that I've learned, and this is going to sound pretty naff, but is the power of, I just suppose, that learning. I kind of didn't understand it or understand the influence it can have on yourself and on other people. And at the end of the day, that's all you can really ask of yourself, is to keep learning and is to keep your mind open, and to keep thinking because I think so many people can just shut that off and think, oh, no, this is how I've been brought up, or this is what I think, or this is what old mate told me on the telly.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to continue to believe. And it's confirmation bias. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do our research and we go online and we search up the things that make our theory come true, I suppose. Yeah. And it's just getting out of that echo chamber and continuing to just learn from all sides. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. As from your perspective, what's your favorite moment of the show to be a part of? To get on through rehearsal so far, what's been that moment that you just love being a part
of? Yeah, it'd probably be No. There's a number called No in the second act, and it's just so powerful. I don't want to spoil it.
No. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. So when people come, I think they'll realize, and they'll go, "Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah." No, that's cool.
That a really cool moment. I will agree with you there. What are you looking forward to most? Getting an audience back in a week and having their reaction and their being able to see people and watch people react to everything going on in the show. What are you most excited about?
I think I'm excited. I'm excited about, Alanis attracts so many different people from so many different walks of life.
Yeah.
Many musicals can just draw one crowd. But I think this show will draw in, everyone. And I think it's going back to what I was saying before. I'm excited about the conversations. I'm excited about opening up the newspaper and reading about people hating the show or reading about people loving the show. And I mean, I'm just excited for what that's going to start and create and snowball. Yeah.
Create the conversations that will continue after. I love that. Yeah. What do you think people that maybe are coming for the Alanis side of things or only know Alanis for her music and everything like that, that are coming for musical theatre and theatre for the first time, what are some words for them of what to expect and coming to a theatre for the first time, what to kind of be open to?
Yeah. I don't think it matters if you've seen musical theatre or you've never seen musical theatre before. There's a show that kind of, like every generation, there's a show or two that kind of defines the next. And Rent was that in 2001. Yeah. I mean, if you keep going back, like Godspell, I reckon, is another one, Wicked. There are very few shows that just, in very Alanis fashion, is avant-garde. And keeps up with the zeitgeist and kind of creates a zeitgeist and creates a new generation of theatre. And that's this show for sure. I cannot wait to see the musicals that come out of this because it's truly nothing like any musical that I really know. I can't think of another musical that kind of compares to in the way that it's so raw and so real. So tangible and confronting at the same time, but without being judgmental. Siddhi Lali, the choreographer, and Mark Kimmelman, the associate, they're coming over from the States, keep talking all the time about how the ensemble aren't judgmental. They can't be judgmental. And everything that they do, they're just witnessing it. They're just witnessing it and they're experiencing it and they're just telling a story. And that's all it is. It's not, So for those who haven't seen musical theatre, you're in for a real treat. Not all musicals are like this.
Yeah.
For those who love musical theatre, you're also in for a treat. You're going to be, it's going to be flipped on its head and you're going to love it.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really sick. And you mentioned the ensemble there. What's this cast been like to work with? Obviously, having a family made up of Matt Bathingswaite and Tim Draxel with Emily coming in for her first show as well. And then, So what's it been like getting to create this family and environment with this cast? And
it's been really great, and you're forced to love each other. Not that we had any problems doing that, but with the content of the show, with the themes that we get into, there's no room for ego, and there's no room for performative nature. It's all about the story, and I truly don't think there's anyone in the cast that will put themselves first before the show or anything like that. And it hasn't been like that in the rehearsal room, won't be like that on stage. They're all beautiful people. Yeah, it's a truly lovely working environment. To be part of.
I love that. So opening in a week at the Theatre Royal, right? It's insane. How is tech going? Are you guys?
It's slow. This is my first pre-production. I'm learning so much. I'm freaking out. We have an audience next on the second, I think, for a preview. I'm just taking it as it comes. Tech is pretty slow. There are a few points in the play where Nick just isn't on stage, and so 20 minutes in a play can be like a whole day.
Yeah.
For tech. It's fine. I'm keeping myself busy. Plenty of Minecraft, Roblox.
What was it like going from the rehearsal room to then all of a sudden having costume thrown at you and having lights and seeing it on that professional stage compared to what you'd be used to at the con and everything like that? What's that process been like for that first show and seeing how things are run at this level?
Remarkably, I really don't think there's a big difference between my time at con and my time here. I'm very, very, very blessed. Paul Sabey is such a beautiful, generous man who runs the con, and he's constructed this course that truly does resemble and create a professional working environment. And that goes from the rehearsal room. Got to work with Alice Smith this year, Dan Venz, awesome creatives who are very well known in the industry. And then going on to the con stage. I mean, I was in rehearsals here, but we just did Greece this year, and that got picked up for QPAC. And so they're on the lyric stage, the big 2000-seat theater, and which is awesome. It's just so cool. And so, like, in terms of the theaters and the spaces and the money, I suppose, that's involved, there's no real difference. But the difference is the expectation that I suppose I put on myself. And we all do. It's a professional show. That's a whole nother standard. People are looking at it through a different lens. And I think it's just trying to strip all that back and just be like, no, it's exactly the same. There's no difference between your performance here and my performance at the con, because there isn't. I mean, I put the same amount of work in there as I will here, and the same amount of work I put in the future. I guess it's just taking that back.
Yeah, amazing. All right, well, you open in a week, then you're in Sydney for a month, and then you ship off to Melbourne. So guys, again, if you're going to hear me harp on you for the next 2 weeks after this to get tickets to this, see the show, because I have seen it and I can guarantee you that, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. It doesn't matter who is in the show. I can't wait to see Liam's portrayal of Nick. I'm so excited for that.
Are you in Sydney or Melbourne?
I'm in Newcastle, so I'm just above you right now. So I will be down a couple of times, I'm sure. But make sure you're getting tickets jaggedmusical.com right now to get tickets for Sydney or Melbourne. Theatre Royal, brand new refurbished theatre, as you would have heard 2 weeks ago. And then Comedy Theatre for Melbourne. So make sure you're checking all of that out. To wrap us up, Liam, besides No, it doesn't have to be a scene that you're in. What's your favourite song in the show that you've heard so far?
Can I give you two?
Yeah, fire away.
One is Lance's Party, because I love the music in that. It just makes you feel happy. I love you when you're there. It's lovely. And then the second one would probably be the All I Really Want dance break. That's really exciting. I love watching that. I'm kind of just reading my book on stage and everyone else is dancing around me. I'm very jealous. I'm itching to join them. But probably those two moments. They're great fun.
I love that. All right, guys, make sure you're getting your tickets. Make sure you're checking out Jagged socials, Liam's socials. Everything is down in the description box below. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.